Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Big Cat Banter. I know it's been a while. Joey's been unavailable for quite a bit, so he won't be with us today. But I do have a special guest here. Say hi, Matthew. We got Matthew Zader here from the Hockey Writers. He's our wonderful draft specialist here. And with the draft coming up tomorrow as we speak, we're going to be talking about some of the prospects who could be going to the Panthers.
Yeah, it's happy to be here. It's always fun to be talking draft, especially the eve of it. So excited.
It should be a very exciting draft eve. I mean, it was supposed to be a little bit more exciting based off some of the trades that were supposed to happen. But just to recap what happened yesterday, you know, we had a little bit of an expansion draft. The Panthers said goodbye to Chris Drieger. But he gets a chance to start with Seattle now, but it looks like there were no side deals made on contingencies of players getting selected anywhere. Like, the only trade that Seattle has made was trading Tyler Pitlick, the player from the Arizona Coyotes, away to the Flames for a fourth round pick. So that was an interesting way for the expansion draft to go, right?
Yeah, I thought there was gonna be a lot more deals beforehand as well, and nothing really happened. We knew all the picks how way beforehand as well, and there wasn't much excitement during that big reveal. So I mean, and there's not been any trades really. Like, that Pitlick deal is like minor, it's not really that massive. I think we may see some moves during the draft first round, just before. We may have some craziness maybe towards the end of the day today and tomorrow morning. So hopefully we have some action going into the draft.
We did have one crazy trade come up that pretty much made me scratch my head a little bit, though, with the Carolina Hurricanes trading Alex Nedeljkovic to the Detroit Red Wings for a third-round pick in Jonathan Bernier's RFA rights. And then the Red Wings immediately signing Nedeljkovic to a $3 million contract, which, by the way, with offer sheet compensation, the Hurricanes would have gotten a second-round pick in that deal instead of a third.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a puzzling move. And, I mean, Detroit got a really good goaltender. I thought Nedeljkovic played really well in the playoffs. Probably their best player throughout that series, and it's interesting to have them trade him, and now they just have their tandem from last year or last season. So it was an interesting move, I think. And maybe they thought they couldn't re-sign him, I don't know. But it's kind of interesting.
They offered Nedeljkovic like $1.5 million, but I think it comes down to the fact they didn't trust him. But now all three of the goaltenders on their roster, Bernier, Mrazek and Reimer, they're all UFAs, so they could all walk, and they'd have to find some completely different tandem. And possibly the best goaltender on the UFA market, Chris Drieger from the Panthers, he's already gone. He's gone to Seattle. They got to negotiate with him first, and that worked out well for the Panthers because they're not losing a roster player that would have been there next year. But now for a team like Carolina, the best goaltender on the market's gone. So now you have to think of something else or try to keep those guys that are in-house. But that's a kind of a puzzling move when you take that into account.
Yeah, and the way this is, Nedeljkovic is really young too. So, I mean, I thought goaltender of the future type thing in Carolina, and it just seemed like that's the way it was going. So we don't know all the background of why they did it. Maybe they think they're going to get another goaltender that's going to, you know, there's no chance they're going to be drafting Wallstead because Carolina is further down in the draft. So it's going to be interesting what they even do during the draft. I mean, they may even trade something to get a goaltender. It's interesting to see what, I mean, the UFAs are pretty slim for goaltenders. There's a lot of veteran guys that are kind of starting to be over the hill, like Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby's a trade. He wouldn't be a signing. But, we'll see what happens. I think the UFA market's very thin in goaltenders now that Drieger's gone. So we'll see.
Yeah, and then another guy that could get off the trade market, he's been kind of stuck in the AHL lately with guys like Driedger and now Spencer Knight coming up and that awful Bobrovsky contract. Coach, a guy that gets overlooked is Samuel Montembeau. He's 24 years old. He has NHL experience, and he's on a fairly cheap deal. I mean, his deal expired at this offseason, so he's a restricted free agent. He had a 700,000 cap hit this past season, but he has some NHL experience. He's 24. You think that's a guy that could be on the move this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, the crease seems pretty full in Florida now. And, you know, with Bobrovsky, there's no way that's getting moved. That contract is too big. And they're just stuck with it. Just hoping that maybe he'll turn the tables and kind of change in the next few years, because he was a Vezina Trophy winner, don't forget. I mean, it's kind of interesting of how much he's fallen down the depth chart, because Spencer Knight is probably there, pretty much he could be the starter next season, right, depending on how he plays. So Montembeau is going to probably be on the trade block. There's no way you're moving Bobrovsky, so he could be on the move somewhere.
Yeah, and like, that could be one of the moves we see on draft day, but as someone who's been covering the draft for a while, do you think this draft will have more trades happen, especially with the picks, because of what we've seen with scouting? Or how has scouting affected the draft this year, basically?
This year's been very weird for scouting, and I mean, I wasn't able to get out to any rinks this year. I usually like to get to around, you know, the area that I'm in. I usually go to Giants games. I go around and kind of do a bit of that. But this year is nothing like that, and there's a lot of scouts that were in that same boat for most of the year. So, I mean, I think we will see a lot more trades because of that. I mean, there are scouts that just know players just from talking to people and, you know, from the draft community. They would know a bit about these guys, even if they didn't watch them live. But a lot of video scouting this year that, you know, usually wouldn't do. So I think you're going to see a lot more. I discussed this on THW Live not that long ago, and that you're going to see a lot more of these changes where you're trading first round picks for more picks later on. So you mean like a second rounder, getting maybe two or three second rounders from a team that has a lot of them for a first round pick. So because you're confident that you're going to get something pretty solid in the second round, right? So, and this draft, there is a lot of guys in that range, that second, third round, that are interesting, that could potentially become something and fall into that, you know, that could be first round picks, but they drop into the second or third round. There's a lot of defensemen, from what I can see, that are going to become top four guys that are going to be drafted in that second round. So it's going to be interesting to see what teams think, you know, if they can get maybe two guys for the price of just a first round pick and get a few more picks rather than just that one guy.
Who are some of those names that come to mind as some of those like guys who could be steals, like late first rounders? We know the Panthers are, I mean, technically drafting with pick 24, but it's really pick 23 because the 11th pick is voided. That whole situation is just so confusing. But what kind of players you think do fit that kind of mold of late first rounder, maybe early second rounder, that could maybe fall into the Panthers' laps in a year where some players like that don't otherwise do that?
Well, I mean, there's quite a few that, like forwards and defense. I think I'm pointing to a lot of defensemen in my mind that could drop. Like, you're looking at Olin Zellweger, who's, you know, kind of raised his stock a lot in the last few months. And he could be potentially a late first rounder when he was supposed to be a second. That's a riser. But, I mean, you've got guys like, you never know, Atu Ratti could drop down to the second round because of how much he's fallen in the draft. And he was a potential first overall pick not that long ago. So you may see him drop into the second. I don't see it happen. I think there's be teams that will be drafting in the first, but he's a name I'm thinking of. Defensemen like Stanislav Svozil, Daniel Chajka, those guys are kind of on that fringe first round, second round. You could see guys like Jack Peart jump into the first round, which means a guy that wouldn't normally be there will drop into the second. So it's gonna be fun to see where these guys kind of drop and where they all fall. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone jump from the second round into the first. Like I said about Peart, and yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch. And I think the Panthers could take advantage of that. We were discussing just before recording here about that and about if the Panthers will trade that pick, and they could be one of those teams that will do that because to gain the maybe another second rounder.
Which prospect you think would be available that would fit the Panthers the most? Like, which one of those guys you think is like, yeah, that's the guy that I can see Florida taking with that 24th overall pick, technically? The NHL's made it really weird with the number.
It's insane. I know, it's like I had the numbers set in the tracker, and I'm like, okay, now it's the wrong one because they put that 4 foot in there. And yeah, it's a weird way to kind of change the numbering just because of that Arizona Coyotes thing. But for the Panthers, I mean, they've got some good pieces. I think they could use some more offense, you know, losing a few of those guys in the last couple of years to free agency. And I mean, they still do have Alexander Barkov, who's leading the charge there. But getting guys like, you know, there's a few. I point to Atu Ratti, I think, is a, you know, you're looking at Barkov and that connection, Finnish connection. He'd be a guy I'd look at. You know, guys like Scott Morrow, who could jump into the first round, and he's a very purely offensive type defenseman. But still needs to be fixed his defense a bit. You know, that's two guys I'm kind of pointing to right now. Even a guy like Nikita Chuprikov, who's, you know, he's a sniper and he could even be drafted a lot sooner, but he could drop into that 20-25 range as well.
The thing that interested me too was when we were doing the mock draft at THW, like a lot of these guys that are high on some people's rankings kind of were lower on others. So there are a lot of like high ranked guys who wound up falling in that mock draft. And the name that popped up for me when I was doing that with the Panthers was Logan Tenankovin. He, very good two way forward. Even for his size, he plays really well defensively. He is very high motor, and he works really well in the offensive zone too. He can put up some points. So it's interesting to see what the actual GMs think. And if the rankings that, let's say, some of these top analysts have, or the central scouting has, is like even different from what some of these GMs think.
Yeah, it's weird. You see, looking at all those rankings, and there's so many guys that put it out now, and they kind of range all over the place. There's guys that have, honestly, think of one guy that I see all over the place. And off the top of my head, I'm not. One guy, Matthew Samuskevich, is one guy I've seen, you know, jump into the first round now. And earlier in the year, he was a second rounder at best, but his skill level is pretty high. He could jump into the first round. Scott Morrow, like I mentioned before, he's a guy that's all over the place as well. There's guys that now have him in the first round. But his defensive game, there's a lot of people that think that he may not be able to fix that. And he's in the second round, second, maybe bordering on a third. So, I mean, it's going to be, like you said, the GMs, it depends on what they think and what their scouting staff thinks of who fits. I think there's going to be a lot of the best player available like we usually see. But we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. And it's going to be exciting to kind of see where all these guys fall, because unlike any other draft, I think we're just going to be surprised by a lot of picks, especially right from the get-go. I mean, everyone's saying Owen Power is going to go first overall. That's not a certain thing. Well, usually we know who's going to be picked first overall. This year, not so much.
Yeah, and like with Bill Zito actually had his pre-draft availability today, and he said himself that the Panthers are going to be looking at best player available. So you would wonder that if a guy like Atu Rati is available, if Zito takes the flyer on him just because of how highly touted he was before this season, and if he takes the chance on that, or if the season he had this year kind of tarnished that a little bit. Like, that's something to think about with what Zito came out and said earlier today.
What was the question there?
I was saying that during his pre-draft availability, Zito said that he would go with the best player available at that point.
Right.
So you'd wonder with a guy like Atu Rati, that if he would go with him because of what he did before this season and how highly touted he was, or if he kind of holds off because of what happened this past season. Like, what would that definition of best player available be?
I think that's definitely the definition, best player available as what his potential could be. And I think, you know, that talent doesn't go away. I mean, he was rated to be a first overall pick or even in that conversation. And it wasn't like 5 years ago. This was like 6-7 months ago. I mean, it's not that long ago that he was touted as a first overall pick. So, I mean, that talent is there for him. It's just in a matter of, will a GM or scout say, well, this guy still has that talent that we can develop? I think that's where it's going to come down to. That if they believe that his skill level is there, or was it there? And now that he's played against men a lot of the time, like, that's what he was doing. He was playing against men in the Finnish league, and he struggled to kind of, you know, showcase that talent that he did have in the more lower levels. I mean, that could be a red flag. I mean, you don't know. It could be something that, well, now he can't play against stronger players, but that may be because he's an 18-year-old playing in a league that has 20-year-olds in it. So it's going to be just interesting to see if he can bounce back next season and kind of develop that skill level and show that he can overcome, you know, whatever he was struggling with this past season. I think he still has the talent to be a top five pick. So he's going to be a steal wherever he goes, because he's not going to go in the top 10 or 15. He's going to drop into that 20-25.
And then with the whole top overall pick conversation, who is your prediction to go number one? Because we've had quite a few guys in that conversation since Rati dropped off. Like, we've had, I think the guy I've always had going number one is Owen Power. But in our mock draft, we had Matty Beniers go number one. And then I've also seen people say William Eklund can go number one. So who is your guy that you're like, this is definitely who I see going number one? This is the best player in this draft right now. Because, well, we haven't had a draft like this in quite a long time.
No, that's true. And I mean, I don't know how to go far. You can go back to see where the last time we had this type of debate in the first, the top two picks, or even top three. I mean, you don't know if it, the top three aren't really set. So I believe if you're looking at best player, it's still Owen Power. But for need and for what I believe the Buffalo Sabres should do, it's William Eklund for me. So, I mean, there's two kind of schools of thought. Would you look at, you know, best player in, or would you look at who best fits the team? And I think for the Sabres, they have that franchise defenseman, Rasmus Dahlin. I don't think Power really helps them as a organization. I mean, definitely it will help them, but to move them forward, especially with them losing losing Eichel and potentially Reinhardt as well. So I think Eklund's the guy, because he's going to be a superstar in the league. So you need a guy that's exciting to bring the fans kind of out of their seats again, because the Sabres haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. They need to kind of start turning things around.
Yeah, last time the Sabres made the playoffs, I was like 9 years old.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
They've had promising teams. I mean, most of the time they start off the season, halfway through they're looking good, and then just kind of fall off. I mean, when kind of the going gets tough, it seems they kind of start dropping off. So that has to stop for the organization to move forward. And I don't know if Eklund's the answer completely, and he's just the start, because there's a lot more that needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you would wonder if Buffalo makes the Eichel move before the draft to kind of try to recoup more draft picks to use, or if they kind of wait that out, because as of 4:16 Eastern time, there hasn't been an Eichel trade made. I'm saying the time right now because I could upload this podcast and there could have been a trade made in that time. We don't know.
That's right.
So, like, knowing my luck, there's going to be about, like, 7 trades made either during the recording of this podcast or after the podcast. And I'm going to open Twitter and I'm going to be like, oh, that happened. So, just as of now, it's 4:16. Jack Eichel hasn't been moved. And Buffalo, I think do they only have their first round pick?
I believe it's just the first round. Yeah, there's not many teams that have 2 first rounders. I think it's just Columbus and Detroit.
Yeah, because they didn't even get a first round pick out of Taylor Hall. They so they only have their first round pick, and they might need to get some more players. So we'll have to figure out what they're gonna do, if they're going to potentially move Reinhardt's RFA rights sometime before the draft, or if they're going to move Eichel sometime before the draft to try to get more talent to surround whoever they are picking first overall, whether that be Power, Eklund, or even Matt Beniers.
Yeah.
They're going to need to get more talent in that age range and kind of rebuild from that type of age rather than keep it holding on to an Eichel. Which I don't know if that's going to be a possibility if they hold on to Eichel. We don't know yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's like I say, this is where the Sabres are going to kind of set the tone for the draft, because whatever they do, it's going to kind of set what everyone else is going to do. Because if they pick Power, it's going to go pretty much, I don't know. Like it'll all depend on that, and again, what the Kraken look like. You know, if they pick Power, Kraken may go, well, we want that forward in Eklund, or they want Beniers. Is that two-way dynamo? So it's going to be interesting to see what the Sabres. Everyone kind of thinks that Power's still the pick because of the fact of how well he played for Team Canada in the World Championships. And that's definitely, I'm not saying Power's not a first overall pick. I mean, he definitely has the talent to be that first overall pick. He's going to be a franchise defenseman wherever he goes. But for the Sabres, I'm just looking at the team that's drafting, and I don't think that they would be better off going after Power. I think they should be going after a guy like Eklund or Beniers. And I think they would help them out more than Power would.
For a team like Seattle that drafted very defense heavy in the expansion draft, if Power does fall to them, do you think they would still go after him, or would they go after the forward? Because from what the expansion draft kind of looked like there, it seemed like they didn't draft as many forwards, and that defense core kind of looks deeper to the point where even Vince Dunn could be on the outs.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Seattle does in the next couple of days, because they did do some weird kind of, I think, weird picks. I mean, there's some guys that they could have picked over, you know, they picked some guy lower end guys. I mean, not saying they're wrong. I mean, see what Vegas did and pick some guys that no one really knew about, and then all of a sudden they're top 6 guys. So you can't really question, especially with the group that Ron Francis put together, because there's a lot of different types of hockey minds in there that are not as traditional as some of the other teams that have. So there's some things that they know better. And like Morgan Geeky is a big example of this. He drafted him way back when with Carolina. He knows the player. He knows why they picked him that point. He knows things that we don't. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of move their roster around, because this isn't the roster they're going to start opening night on.
Yeah, it definitely would be interesting, and you wonder why they would take a guy like Carson Terinsky or whatever his name is over a guy like Jakub Voracek without a side deal being made, because as of right now, there were no side deals at all made to protect any players. I think that was confirmed, but yeah. Some of these guys they've picked have just been real question marks.
Yeah, that Alexander True is another one from San Jose that I kind of scratched my head on. And the Columbus pick was a big one, too, because he's an unrestricted free agent. Like, why wouldn't you pick a defenseman that's under contract or another forward, like Mark was saying in his article about, you know, it was kind of a weird pick when you could have gone for a guy that's not going to be unrestricted in the next month or not month, in the next few days.
Yeah. Crazy week that we're going from expansion draft to the NHL draft and now free agency coming next week.
Yeah.
Like it's just been a very head spinning week on the news desk so far. Yeah. So it's a fun time to be a hockey analyst.
Yes.
How were you doing this during the Vegas draft? How was it at that point?
I wasn't doing this at the Vegas draft. I do remember the chaos, and I mean, I wasn't big on Twitter, so I didn't know all the picks. I don't know if everyone knew them beforehand. I mean, I knew what the Canucks were going to pick at that point, but I mean, yeah, I didn't do this back then. This is the first year I've been knee deep in all of this, and last year was my first draft, like covering the draft for the Hockey Writers. So this year I'm in the lead spot when Josh was last year. So it's been in a whirlwind the last year, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely, like coming into this, especially during a pandemic where you start covering the draft the first year the pandemic happens, where you still have a good idea of what's going on. At the same time, some of the leagues got frozen and it's still like, okay, the draft's happening virtually now, as opposed to happening in person like it usually would be, and having it happen all the way in October. That was one interesting draft. Like, I'm used to having the season starting in October. We could get the draft in October.
Yeah.
And then this year we're pushed back. We're in like later July now, but a lot of the seasons just straight up didn't happen or just happened at like, yeah, maybe they got like 20 games in for some of these kids, so you don't really know what's coming with them. So having that duality of uncertainty there, which one of those two situations was like the hardest to navigate through?
Yeah, it's been a like I say, it's been a weird year for a lot of things, and scouting's one of the things that like I wanted to do this full time, and I still have a day job and doing this kind of a part-time thing. And, you know, this year was my first time. I was like, oh, I'm going to do a lot of scouting and stuff, but that just didn't happen. So it's been challenging at times, but still with how what's have been happening with the draft, and it's fun that the draft actually has moved forward pretty much like normal, a month later. We're usually doing this in June. So it's a kind of back to normal, but not. I mean, it'll be hopefully next year we'll be doing this in June and all this stuff is kind of falling in the same spots as what it normally does.
Yeah, the NHL season that is supposed to have the official announcement on the schedule at 6 o'clock Eastern time. It's currently 4:24 when we're recording this. So the schedule will be out when this episode gets released, but the season is supposed to start on October 12th, which will be my 20th birthday. Happy birthday to me. So with that start date in mind, that should be an interesting one. But who are your predictions to get the opening day games? We already know that Vegas and Seattle are playing, and then there will be a Tampa Bay game. So Let's just throw out our predictions there. Who do we think would be playing Tampa Bay on that October 12th game?
I'm going to say Florida. I mean, you want to start that kind of this the rivalry thing. I mean, that's built to be a huge rivalry. And now this just this past season, a lot of fights in those games, a lot of penalty minutes. It's been pretty crazy on how physical those series have gotten. And just for the entertainment purposes, I think the NHL will be wise to put Florida, Tampa in that first day.
Yeah, there are one of two options I think the NHL couldn't go wrong with. And the first one, I do agree with you on Florida. This is a Panthers podcast, so we obviously have to put the Panthers in there if we're talking Florida rivalry. For all the same reasons, you want to get that rivalry going. The playoff series definitely did that. And to kind of have the Panthers players kind of standing there watching the ceremonies, getting them all like riled up to try to take these guys down, that would be a very good game to have as one of your first ever ESPN games. Yeah. Like that's probably one of the games ESPN would want to have to kick off their hockey coverage, I would think. But the other option, this team is going to be starting the season on the road for quite a bit because they're still waiting on their arena to be finished getting built. They played each other twice in a row in the Eastern Conference Finals now, or I guess the semifinals this past year. But they could invite the Islanders to town too. That has been a rivalry that's kind of been brewing as well between those two teams. The past two conference finals between the two teams have been pretty insanely physical. The teams don't like each other. And I think that would be a very good game as well. So I think either the Panthers or the Islanders could take that spot. And I mean, if the Panthers don't have a home game I'm supposed to be at that date, I will probably go to that game no matter what because it's on my birthday.
Yeah, that's another good choice. I mean, it's kind of built that rivalry through the playoffs. Seems like rivalries are built a lot there. And those two, I think they're not liking the Tampa Bay Lightning a lot right now because they've kicked them out the last two times. So I think that would be a good pick as well.
And then as a Vancouver guy, with Seattle coming into the league, what do you think about Vancouver and Seattle kind of starting a rivalry?
Yeah, they're already a geographical rivalry. I mean, just down the highway, it's you're hitting it. So it's the NHL is going to do as much as they can to build that rivalry. They did it. They tried to do it in yesterday at the expansion draft, kind of trying to rile up the fans. And then Seattle's taking Canucks fans, and Twitter's been kind of on fire with that too because the Canucks are not doing as well. So go to Seattle, play. You know, be a fan of Seattle. Not saying that Seattle's going to be much better. I mean, right now their roster doesn't really look a lot, you know, they're not that good. But like I said, that's not going to be the roster it's going to open the season on. So they're probably going to be much better. But yeah, that rivalry is going to be built pretty fast. And I think probably from game one, you're going to have half the arena in Seattle jerseys, and you're going to have a bunch of with the Canucks. So it's not hard to get to. Once the borders open, you're going to have fans taking road trips down there. So
I think they
it's going to be fun.
I think they purposely picked the draft order of having it be divisional in alphabetical order and ending with the Pacific, just so Vancouver would be the last team they picked from. So They built all the hype for the Vancouver pick. So I think that was kind of something in the presentation that I've kind of noticed that I can give them a thumbs up for. It's like originally when they started doing it that way, I was kind of questioning it. But then when I realized Vancouver was the last team on the list, they brought out the ownership group.
Yeah.
And then they started talking about it. I'm like, I think that was a smart idea on the presentation. Granted, there were a few mishaps during that expansion draft, too. Which one of those is your favorite one? Let's talk about our favorite expansion draft mishap from the first day of ESPN broadcasting the NHL.
Oh, Carolina Panthers. Like, they're taking from the Carolina Panthers. I'm like, oh, do they have a hockey team now? I mean, He didn't even correct himself. He's like, I loved what the Carolina Hurricanes did afterwards too, and the Carolina Panthers on their Twitter account is, we made a hockey team. That was, I'd say, the biggest, and that's not gonna go away very anytime soon.
Yeah, the social media teams in North Carolina are great. They killed it with that. And whoever drew that Carolina Panthers logo for the Hurricanes is a beautiful artist. I will say that. I mean, I know people have seen my art on Twitter of Barkov and goalie pads. I wish I could be as good of an artist as that. But how about Sean Kemp saying Jonas Donskali for Jonas Donskali? I was like, wait, who is that?
Yeah. There were a few things that were kind of weird on that. They didn't start off on the right foot, I'll say.
Yeah, and like with these people announcing the picks, you'd think you have the lists in about 10 hours ahead of time. Like, and you have these celebrities on hand, you have already had them booked. You don't like take 10 seconds to be like, before you get the cameras rolling, you're like, okay, that's how you pronounce his name. Like, at least with Marshawn Lynch's pick, he put the effort in. He got the first name right before he kind of asked Kevin Weeks for help.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not going to help these guys before they go announce these names?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I think there's the lack of, there's a bit of preparation that they definitely could have done a lot better. And I don't know, Kevin Weeks, in general, he was on CBC. That was a while ago now. I mean, there's some things that I think he still hasn't gotten better with how being an announcer. But it's going to be interesting. I think the guy that ran the expansion draft, he's not a hockey guy, just from what I could see. But we'll see.
Yeah, he was not a hockey guy. I think he's more of a college football guy, Chris Fowler, because I was talking in my group chat of Florida guys who are mainly college football guys, and I'm like, man, this bozo from ESPN doesn't know what he's doing. And then one of them just came at me like, oh, that's Chris Fowler. He's really good at what he does. I'm like,
right.
He said the Carolina Panthers, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, he definitely doesn't. I thought he may have correct himself, but no, he didn't. So,
like, he just went with it. He's like, okay, whatever, I'll just keep going. I mean, there's a team in the league named the Panthers. Let's just fake it till we make it, guys.
Yeah. So it we'll see. Hopefully they get better at it, because they're gonna get criticism throughout. I mean, NBC before, I don't think they were the best either. In there, and they were doing hockey for years, so I think the American television coverage isn't the best in general, and that's not just because I'm Canadian. I think just Canada does it better with their broadcast. And not saying that our stuff is perfect, there are some things that I kind of cringe at too with our analysts and broadcasters, so there's a bit of both.
Yeah, I was watching a game on, I think it was like March 10th, and they did some like really weird segment where the people were dressing up. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, some of the gimmicks, it's just play the hockey. Like,
just play the hockey.
Just play hockey.
We're a hockey game.
Just
we're
not show the hockey game. We need all this other crap.
Yeah.
Like, I find the expansion draft things, having the different, like, having a squid announce a pick, having someone in a tank announce a pick. I mean, like, or have Dominic Moore catch a dead fish from, I mean, what is all that? Like, come on.
But I mean, some of that was a bit fun. The fish thing, like, it would have been fun if we didn't know who was going to
get picked. Yeah, true.
Like, the whole, like, gimmicky stuff with the picks probably would have been more exciting and more suspenseful if we're like, okay, I know that the squid's gonna leave and it's gonna say Dennis Cholowski. Because I already wrote this piece like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. No, it's true. And like with Cole Lind going, you know, I knew that Cole Lind was gonna get picked, and there was no, oh no, who's gonna get picked? Is it gonna be the same thing with Montreal? Like there were that big stuff at the beginning going, there's this guy available and this guy available, and we know Carey Price wasn't gonna get picked.
Tarasenko, it's like, are they gonna pick Carey Price or Vladimir Tarasenko? And we're like, no, we know who's getting picked. Did you check Twitter?
Yeah. So it was a bit, and I think it's because, I mean, there's a lot of criticism about, you know, the reporters leaking it, but that's their job. I mean, you know, we're not privy to it yet. I mean, we're hoping to be one of those insiders eventually, but.
I mean, James broke the Eberle pick. One of us is.
Yeah, we do have an insider. We do. And Mark's gotten some OHL stuff late, you know, recently. He got that first thing about with the vaccination. So we're getting there, and it's awesome to see. So, but like I say, the reporters, I mean, that's their job. Their job's to get information and be the first to get it. And really, are they not going to release it? No, I mean, they're going to.
If they don't, someone else is. And then if they don't, then their bosses are going to get on them. So if they have the information, they have to release it. So I'm not going to blame them. And I mean, personally, it made my job easier when I had to write this stuff rather than having to be like, crap, all of the ones I prepped are useless now. Let me prep this. Let me write this in about like 20 seconds on John Quenville.
Yeah.
Like, cool. It was nice having that 30 or so minutes of like, oh, I know who this is now. Let me go write this instead of being like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least for my perspective as acting on the news team, that kind of helped me personally. But at the same time, I guess from a fan perspective, it kind of gets... Like, you look forward to that 8 o'clock expansion draft, and then you go on Twitter and see the whole list of names already. And that kind of made it a little bit less off for people to watch the broadcast at that point.
Yeah, and, like, I feel for the fans that want, but, I mean, the thing is, you know what Twitter is. If you didn't want to know, stay off Twitter. Stay off social media, because it was going to get released on your feed. I mean, I know spoilers for stuff. If you're, you know, you want to watch a movie that just came out, don't go on Twitter because there's going to be spoilers. It's just how it goes.
Oh, so, I have a good story that has to do with avoiding spoilers. So I was doing social media for a Nashville Predators site earlier on. And this was like at the height of everyone talking about Game of Thrones, right? So since I was working, I obviously couldn't watch the episode, and I was also behind on the series. So, but every time I went on to go tweet, because the Predators were in the playoffs at the time, playing against the Dallas Stars, every time I'd go on there to do my job, I'd be like, oh, great, another spoiler. And it got to the point where I'm like, okay, why bother even watching this at this point? Is now I know what's going on, because I have to see what's happening in Game of Thrones every time I go try to do my job. And like I share the account with other social media managers, so like I wasn't going to mute a word just in case someone wanted to throw out a Game of Thrones meme or something. I don't know, that's a thing that happens. But like I'm there trying to do my job and live tweet the game, and I can't even do that because just all these spoilers, and I'm like, great. So, like, being a social media manager was just so difficult at that time. And probably every time one of these new things comes out, I mean, the good thing with right now is that nothing's really being produced other than, like, Space Jam, and no one cares about that movie. But, like, at that time, like, being a social media manager was so hard.
Yeah, especially want to keep things, you know, trying to make sure you're not hitting spoilers, because I know the feeling of watching, you know, trying to not find out about Star Wars. I mean, I was going to watch the new Star Wars, and that I had to stay off social media. We had to watch it that weekend so we didn't know about it. or Avengers, you know, watching those Endgame and all that. So it's like Infinity War. Those were ones that had to stay.
Yeah, Avengers Endgame was a big one, because then I remember some NFL player was like, rest in peace, my homie Tony Stark. Like, literally the day it came out. And then I had to go on Twitter to tweet something for my job, and I saw that, and I'm like, great. thank you, LeSean McCoy. I totally did not ask for your input, but now the movie's spoiled, so I wound up just pirating the movie instead of actually going to the movie. FBI, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. I'm not the only one who does this, but... Yeah, I had to pirate the movie instead of watching it, because, like now I know what's happening, so let me just watch it on my phone now, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... I knew that was going to happen with the expansion draft when they released the lists, or had to have the lists in 10 hours before the draft. I think if they do this again, and they will, I mean, there's going to be another expansion draft. You know, this isn't the end of expansion. I think they got to rethink when they have the lists in. Do it, have the list do an hour before, now maybe not even an hour, do like 5 minutes before or something.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that would be for the argument on that is that players wouldn't necessarily like it, especially just finding out 5 minutes before the live event would go where they're going. I think they'd probably like the time to know beforehand, and then some of these guys who flew in.
I think that's the point of it. I think that's why they do it the 10 hours before, so that they know they can bring players in. I mean, that's definitely why. They're not thinking about the fans at this point. But tighten up your social media. You know, whoever's leaking this stuff. I mean, I don't know who's the one in the NHL offices going and texting their media, these different media personalities. I mean, I don't know who's releasing this information, but... You know,
and then the thing is, the players are told who gets picked, the agents, the GMs of the individual teams. So these reporters kind of have these connections with these guys. So when they go and ask, they're going to say the answer, whether it's the player's agent or it's the GM of the team or some other thing. Yeah. Like, they have these connections, and all of these people know, like, the players have to tell their families about it. So, like, there's a lot of people who get their hands on the lists and get to, like, talk about who gets picked and whatnot, because these guys got to know for their own lives. So, I mean, I kind of get it from the human perspective of not finding out 5 minutes before it's televised the entire world, so you can, like, say your goodbyes to your teammates or
that's true.
That type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I get that point, and I think there's just no avoiding it. If you don't want to know, I mean, the biggest thing is to stay off social media. I think that's what the thing is going to come out of this is, and yeah, everyone's just on social media all the time, getting notifications, and it's just inevitable that you're going to find out these things.
Yeah, like, I remember with the Seattle, not the Seattle draft, the Vegas draft, I wasn't really on Twitter as much at the time, so when I sat down and watched it, like, it wasn't like that. I was kind of more, like, I was just sitting on PlayStation with my friends that day instead of being on social media like that, so... It really just changes from that perspective when you're on Twitter all the time. And I mean, it's my job to be on Twitter all the time, so I can't change that.
No, it's <But. right. laughs> So, I mean, there was no way I wasn't going to find out. I mean, part of the news team, that's we wanted to find out. I mean, the leaks were wanted. We wanted to know each pick. So it was a bigger, I think, it was a gift for us, because it went really smooth on the whole thing. So,
yeah, it went very smooth. I'm very happy with how it went. And I had all my stuff done beforehand. Granted, the Detroit pick kind of squeaked out there. Like, I was writing that one right before it started, because the Red Wings did a good job of keeping theirs a bit silent, more silent than the others. So that was like the one that kind of was like, oh wow, that's there at the like right at the buzzer.
Yeah, yeah. Blackhawks did a pretty good job too. That was later on.
Yeah, the Blackhawks one was later on. So I was working on that around like 5 o'clock when the other ones were already set in stone by like 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So they ran a tight enough ship for it to be. And I mean, that was a shocker too, with John Quenneville being off the board there. For me, being the one writing that, I didn't really know much of John Quenneville. I knew a little bit about him because I grew up an Islander fan. I had Islander season tickets, and I saw him on the Devils, but I didn't really know much about him past that. So writing the news article about him was just kind of a shocker to me.
Yeah, there's a few guys that I didn't really know a lot about. Biggest one was Alexander True. I didn't know anything about this guy. And a lot of the others, like John Quenneville, I remember when he was drafted, I've kind of followed what he's done as a prospect. So I knew who he was, but True and the other guy,
Nate Bastian
from New Jersey. I think that was another guy I wasn't really familiar with. But I mean, it's just interesting. I think those guys are just, you know, they still have potential in the league. And I think either they're going to be, you know, prospects that are just going to play in the AHL right now, or they're going to be guys that surprise when they're given an opportunity. Because that, I think that was the point of this, for when you look at who they picked, was guys that weren't getting a lot of opportunity where they were. Donskoy, I mean, he did score. He's a pretty good forward. He can score, but he was stuck behind some all-stars in Colorado. So it's going to be interesting to see when he's, depending on, I mean, this is dependent on who else the Kraken get. I mean, he may be buried behind a few guys by the end of it. But he may end up being their top line right winger. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. And, I do remember watching a bit of Alexander True, just because I watched a lot of Seattle Thunderbirds games during Matthew Barzell's draft year, and True was on that team with Barzell. Because I was like very enthused with the 2015 draft, since it was down here in Florida.
Right.
So I watched a lot of Thunderbirds games. I was big on Barzell, which, I mean, for me as a 15-year-old Islander fan at the time, I was going nuts when the Islanders made the deal to go get him. But he looks like a guy who could like sneaky be on that roster, be like a bottom six type forward. He's not that bad of a player. He's still pretty young. So, I mean, he, compared to some of the other guys the Sharks had, they didn't really have too many options. So you get a guy with a Seattle connection. He's a guy that some of the people in the local area might recognize from the Thunderbirds. So I think it's good they got a Thunderbirds guy in there.
Yeah, that's true. And another two guys I'm kind of interested to see how they is reuniting of the brothers, Cale Fleury and Hayden Fleury. So that was an interesting one. They both have high potential in the NHL too, and we'll see how they kind of mesh on the team.
I really hope they put them on the same pairing. If they go with the bottom pairing, Cale Fleury, yeah, Hayden Fleury, have those two guys play together. I'm not sure what their handedness are. I don't know if they'd be the same handed or if they'd be the same handedness or not. I didn't look into that. That was on my notes for today. But if they had a Cale Fleury, Hayden Fleury pairing, that would be pretty great.
Yeah, and there's some interesting ones that they picked, and we'll see how many of them hit and how many of them are not on the team next year. So,
yeah, and I guess just one more thing before we wrap this up, with free agency coming up. Where do you think some of these big fish end up? Like, we have Gabriel Landeskog, Dougie Hamilton, Ovechkin, who I would think is staying in Washington. But who do you think is going to be like the first of these big fish to land, and where do you think they're going to end up?
Landeskog, a couple of days ago, I would have thought, you know, Colorado definitely is just going to re-sign him. But it just seems like it's kind of going south there. I mean, that's their captain. I don't know why they're not pushing really hard to get him re-signed, because it's not like he's over the hill. It's not like he's going to be done in the next couple seasons. I mean, he's still got a ton in the tank, and he's still a very productive forward. So it's going to be, I still think that they'll get something done, but it's looking less and less by the day. So we'll see where he lands. I think teams that have high, you know, cap space, you're looking at this Kraken, they're going to have their pick of first of free agents. I mean, if they want to play in Seattle, they'll be able to pay him. So Landeskog is a definite target I would be going for if I was the Kraken, kind of get that star right off the bat. But yeah, and looking at a guy like, well, Ovechkin is going to re-sign in Washington. That's like, there's no way another he's going to go somewhere else. But yeah, Landeskog, I can definitely see in Seattle.
I could see Landeskog going to either Florida or the Islanders. I think another team on the table would be the Kraken, like you said. Or I think he re-signs with the Colorado Avalanche. And then with Dougie Hamilton, I could also see him being a guy Seattle takes a look at.
Yeah.
Florida could take a flyer on him, especially now with Gandel being gone. That's another guy. I think I could see Zito talking to a lot of these guys. But I think Dougie Hamilton ultimately ends up going to the Kraken. I think that's where he goes, even though they do have a deep defensive core. I think some of these guys, like Vince Dunn, are movable. So they'd have a very solid top six with, like, Giordano, Hamilton, Carson Soucy, Jamie Oleksiak, and then also Adam Larson in the fold.
Yeah.
Like, that team's going to be very good defensively. They have two pretty good goaltenders in Chris Dreger and Vitek Vanacek. So yeah. I think they filled out the bottom half of their roster very well. But at the same time, Seattle needs a forward, so I could see them being in the market for a Mike Hoffman, Tyler Bozak, or a guy like Gabriel Landeskog, potentially. But I think he has either Florida or Islanders written all over him.
Yeah, and I say with Dougie Hamilton, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to look at him because of the fact that he is that first pairing defenseman that has kind of come into his own the last few seasons and had a bit of injury problems this past season, I believe. But he's still got the money, and it's going to be a team that has cap space, that's for sure, because he's going to get that big contract, and it's going to be a team that will be able to take that that money.
And do you have any predictions for Vancouver free agency coming up, since you're a Vancouver guy? Yeah.
I hope the Canucks are able to do something and not. I don't think they should be going after the big fish. I mean, they don't have the cap space to do it anyway. They got to re-sign still Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, which I think should be their first priorities. But free agency, you know, Adam Larson was on their radar. But he's gone. There is some potential picks. I don't think they should go after big guys. I think they should be going after that, you know, maybe get a solid third, fourth, you know, guy that can play with Ole Ulevi. But other than that, I don't think they should be going after some big guys. I think, or even having a guy that can play with Quinn Hughes and a good two-way defenseman, not high priced. I still think they should be going for that for trade, not free agency, because free agents are paid way too much. They've done that in the past, signing guys like Tyler Myers. These big contracts haven't really panned out. They're in the market for that defense. I mean, they're going to be trading Nate Schmidt, it looks like, in the next few days. And that will depend on who they get back for him. If they don't get another defenseman, I mean, they're going to be really desperate to try to get defense, because Schmidt's a top, you know, plays in the top four. So, and it's looking like he's as good as gone. So we'll see what guys they get for him. But yeah, forwards, they want a top nine forwards too, that Benning has been saying. So that could be in free agency. I mean, there's quite a few forwards out there that they could sign under a reasonably good deal, but I still think trade is where it's going to be going, because they still got to shed salary. I mean, there's just so much tied up in that bottom six, so we'll see what happens with them.
All right, thanks for coming on. If you want to plug any of your social media before we go, feel free to do that.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Matthew Zader S, or Matthew Zader SC, and you can of course read my stuff on the Hockey Writers. And yeah, the draft's coming up, so there's gonna be a lot of content coming out regarding that from the whole team at the Hockey Writers. So if you want to keep following the draft, then Hockey Writers is where you go.
Yeah, definitely. We have a lot of big stuff coming up with the Hockey Writers. We have the draft, and then we also have free agency coming up after. But be sure to keep up with the Hockey Writers, Panthers content there, and all the other teams you would like to follow. And you could keep up with the podcast on Twitter at Big Cat Banter, and you can keep up with me, myself, at That Guy Colbs on Twitter. But it's been a pleasure speaking with you guys. Have a good day, guys.